Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What?
Episode 450. And if you listened in to episode 448 last week with Todd and I, we were talking about the effectiveness of multi-site versus church planting. And one of the things that came up in our discussion was that role of a multi-site director, which we haven't really ever had at least to my recollection, had a full podcast dedicated toward this role. So let's talk about this role. Let's talk about first, maybe even before defining it, let's talk about the idea of time. When does a multi-site church need a multi-site director? Does it start off? And at what point do they need that? At what point should this just be the part of the senior pastor's vision? Or maybe the executive pastors? When is it an additional team member? When is it part-time, full-time, et cetera? So what are your thoughts on all that?
Okay, so I would say there is enough information out there now for you to make much better decisions than there was 10, 12, 15 years ago when, you know, this thing was first getting started. And people would say, oh, it started earlier than that. But guys, let's be honest. As it exists now, at least, that's when it really started to kick in. And so I would say there's enough information, almost too much information. But if you're able to parse that out, then I think you can pretty much start with a lot of clarity. The key is to start with as much clarity as possible, but be open and have some flexibility. The other thing I would say is you do have the ability to hire out, really rent expertise. So you can contract with a consultant or somebody to help you come in and start everything really well from the beginning. Be very, 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 very careful on who you would bring in to do something like that. And I'm not going to like name names or anything like that, but I would say, you know, there's anybody can hang up a shingle these days and get a WordPress site and
call
themselves an expert or a consultant, write three blogs and they're good. So I would say you want to, find somebody who's done it themselves, and then you want to find somebody who's helped other people do it more than once or twice and has references that you can call to go with that.
So what I'm hearing from you, though, is you're actually saying don't hire someone from the outset.
Not from the outset. Yes.
So if you're in one location and you're like, hey, we want to start being multi-site.
Right.
You're saying don't put the job description out. Just hire a consultant.
Hire a consultant at first. And when you get to three to five, and you have the appetite, your church has the appetite, you have the culture to back all this up, where you're like, we're going to scale these things. Okay, now then you can hire that guy. Otherwise,
would you even want to hire them externally, though, at that point?
No. Well,
and the second question is, can you even find these elusive unicorn multi-site directors?
Yeah, they're findable.
No, but would you even want to bring one in externally when you're at three campuses and as a senior leadership team, you've been consulting with someone else and they've been giving you advice and help? And
ultimately, hopefully that person would be already in. So I would say if you look at, you know, my background, my experience, there were two of us that were XPs. I started to shift into that role, and so as part of the job, you know? And so I think that's probably the most effective thing until something happens from within your ecosystem. So, I mean, there was another guy that was doing it before me who was like the campus director, and it was his job, And then when he left, we didn't, we just brought, because there was only like two campuses.
Three teams. Yeah. I would not, I'm sorry for all you multi-site directors out there looking
There's
for a job.
There's probably not many. None of them are listening to this anyway.
No, probably. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry about what I'm about to say. But if you're a church and you're looking to hire a multi-site director, and do not hire externally. Do not hire externally. Rather, find someone within your church.
This is really passionate about it.
Yeah. And so on the one side, if you don't have a leadership pipeline, dude, just look up Leadership Pipeline. That's like we've talked about so much on the New Churches podcast, 5LQ, Lifeway Leadership. Just look that all
it's
up.
It's not an 8-session course, by the way, or a one-shot thing.
No. So look that up.
You'll
definitely
see plenty of that stuff out there.
Yeah, because there are ways, and don't necessarily think that a campus pastor can be a multi-site director, because it is a different set of competencies. It can happen, but don't necessarily just make that a part of your leadership pipeline. Rather, obviously, look within your staff, see if someone has the competencies toward this end. But rather, I would actually look at business people within your church who get your church, who love your church,
exhibiting
the culture, and specifically someone who has expertise around supply chain management. I mean, that would be awesome. If not, if you're looking more generally, can they juggle a lot of balls? Are they able to, not necessarily multitask, but are they able to run multiple projects at the same time? Do they have a high level of emotional intelligence?
That's big.
I mean, because communication is one of the, I mean, it is so important for any church that's multi-site, but especially the multi-site director, because they are going to be putting out a lot of fires.
So It is here. I got some peas for you, bro.
Yeah. Okay.
These just hit me too. It is being able to parse out the people, the processes, and the, I guess, projects really. It's being able to understand how to prioritize all those things.
Yep.
So I have to have the people skills to know who to listen to, who not to listen to. Yep. Who really is a squeaky wheel, who will always be squeaky no matter how much grease I apply, versus somebody who, you know, really has something to say that will benefit all of us, all those things. But really, process-wise, I need to be able to say, okay, here's the three processes that everybody's complaining about that are really jacked up or holding us back. Which one is the right one to work on? You know, it is all that stuff. So having the ability to, I guess, parse out, exegete, whatever you want to say. Mm. Like, let me look, how am I going to be able to look at all these things? Well, they don't have to be a master of all three, but they need to have a level of competency in all three. And understand your culture is, again, the biggest thing there.
Yeah. So in terms of existing campus pastors being multi-site directors, what would that campus pastor need to exhibit in order to make that shift? Because it's not necessarily a natural transition.
No. So one of the things that I would say you would want, first of all, you would say, hey, is this the kind of poster child campus pastor that I would want? Because, you know, ultimately, you're going to reproduce who you are. Mm. Does this person like people? Do they spend time with people? Are they decent up front? Are they decent behind the scenes administratively? Do they have the right attitude and posture in connection with their relationships with the core service teams and the other campus pastors and their leader? I mean, all those things are really, I think, vitally important. And again, if they get the culture, that's what you want. I mean, a campus is naturally over the course of time going to reflect whoever the campus pastor is.
Yes, that's right.
And so in like manner, your campus pastors are going to begin to reflect whoever the director is, in addition to reflecting who their own self is. But it has to be a person that can see all those things.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, for sure. Because I'm even looking at our three campus pastors at my church. And I mean, they're very different personality-wise. And the campus is reflects who totally. They are. Personality, not just personality, but what they focus on and how they do the work. And one's more pastoral, one's more entrepreneurial, one's more evangelistic, right? So, I mean, the campuses kind of take that shape in light of the vision of our church. But does that necessarily mean that they're going to even enjoy the multi-site director role? Now, there's a difference between as you get to 6, 10, 12, 15 campuses.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah, and then there's this role of being able to lead a cohort of campus pastors. That's a lot more relational. That's a lot more maybe work group oriented. And I mean, New Life in Chicago is a great example of this, where they have clustered their campuses together more toward the ends of teaching. Others do that toward the end of accountability and relationship. So there's definitely that aspect of it. But that idea, that multi-site director role is actually going to be a lot more administrative than it is going to be upfront. And if a campus pastor is thriving in the campus pastor role, you are going to want them to be great upfront. You're going to want them to be great in front of people. And there's definitely going to be that leader of leaders aspect. The other thing is, if your campus pastor is an incredible shepherd, that might not be the best role for a campus, a multi-site director, because they're probably going to miss that component incredibly.
Hmm.
So at what point do you think the multi-site director actually has to be full-time? How many campuses?
I see, man, I'll go back to how clear have you made everything?
Yeah.
Do you have things clearly aligned in bucket 1, 2, and 3? Mm-hmm. Are first and foremost, are your vision and values clear?
Yep.
Are your systems, do you have the same systems across all these different places? Because it makes it a ton easier. Mm. You know, if people are making poor decisions, it's a training issue, it's a competency issue, or something along those lines, or it's a training or a competency issue. Either they're not ever going to be able to do that, I would say more often than not, we blame a lack of training or a lack of competence when in the reality is we haven't been clear.
Mm.
So somebody makes a poor decision, we put another system, process, some kind of checks and balances in place, policies to make sure it never happens again. That is the exact wrong move.
Oh, completely.
The right move is to say, what was this a training issue? Was this a competency issue? Was this a communication issue? Mm. Why did this person not have the clarity? Why did they make the wrong decision? It wasn't because of X. It was probably clarity on your vision, values, and then bucket 1, bucket 2, bucket 3.
Yeah.
If you have those things in place, man, you can scale out to a lot of campuses before you need that person. And then most of the time it's either on the strategy side or people side, relational side that you need.
That you would hire that role. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because there's that aspect of, the easiest thing to do when you're trying to solve an issue or try to dictate behavior is to create a policy.
Or a position.
Yeah.
It's a policy or a position, and you just slowed everything down.
Yes, now you've added one more thing. One more thing for people to remember, and one more thing. And who's smart enough to, when you add a policy, especially if you have like hundreds, who's smart enough to be like, okay, but does this policy actually negate this other policy? Or does it actually conflict this other one? So that's why, here's the thing. I've been back at Beulah for a few months now, and our vision is to reach 1% of Edmonton. There are individuals on our staff who are thriving. They're thriving because they get the values that haven't actually been clearly articulated. We have a set of values, but the values need to be more executable, more actionable, so that it's without even questioning, people are beginning to think through and make the same decisions as anyone else would. So that's why your values are so clear. Too many churches have values that are permission to play values that are just super generic. Every other church has them, and they're not going to help anyone make decisions. So in the absence of clear values, people are just going to make values up themselves. So what are your core values? Because your values are how you're going to do the what of strategy so that you can get to the where of vision, right? How you're going to do the what of strategy so that you're going to get to your vision. I have an audit and a template for this in No Silver Bullets, and it's something that I've worked with churches on to help bring about clarity to the values piece. So be sure to check that out. We'll put that all in the show notes as well. And thanks again for listening in. We'll catch you next time.